This podcast was produced by the Oregon State University Extension Service. I'm here with Bruce Weber, director of the OSU Rural Studies Program, who recently looked at various ways to define rural Oregon in a report published through the Rural Studies Program. Dr. Weber is going to share some of the highlights of his findings with us today. You looked at various systems for classifying areas as rural or urban and focused on two in particular. How do they differ, and what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of each?
The term rural came into use about a century and a half ago when the U.S. Census Bureau tried to separate people who lived in concentrated places from those who lived in the dispersed population centers. What the census decided was that 2,500 or more people was called urban, and everybody outside of centers of 2,500 or more were rural. That became the definition of rural and urban that we've been using for the last century and a half. About 50 years ago, the U.S. government decided that since they could only gather data every 10 years about rural and urban, because it was done during the census, they needed a system that would approximate urban and rural and would allow the use of county-based data, which is available usually on a monthly or an annual basis. So they created a system of metropolitan and non-metropolitan areas. Metropolitan areas are those with centers of 50,000 or more, and the counties that are connected to those centers by commuting patterns. So we have really two systems, one of which is based on this 2,500 as urban, and the other of which is counties that have 50,000 or more people. The main advantage of the metro, non-metro distinction is that the data on metro areas is available at least annually for all places in the United States, and that the rural and urban isn't available except during census years. The primary difference between the two systems is that the urban definition puts the suburbs with the rural areas, and the metro, non-metro system puts the suburbs with the urban areas. Since the suburbs are such a large fraction of our population, where the suburban population goes really does make a difference. For example, if you use the census definition, there's 2,500 people, and the suburbs are with the rural people, urban areas have a lower income than the rural areas. But if you use the metro, non-metro system, where the suburbs are with the metropolitan counties, then the situation is reversed. It looks like the metropolitan areas have higher incomes. The other difference it makes is in the shares of the population that's considered rural. Under the census definition, about 31% of Oregon's population is rural. And under the metro, non-metro definition, only about 24% of the population is rural. So it's not just the characteristics of the population, but also the shares.
Are there some implications for policymakers?
If you're a policymaker and you're trying to decide whether you should set up certain regulations that are designed for rural places and certain that are defined for urban places, how you think about the suburbs really matters. If you think of the suburbs as primarily sparsely settled edges of cities and that they should be grouped with the very sparsely settled remote rural places, then you want the census, the urban-rural. But if you think of the suburbs as connected to the cities, then you want to use the metropolitan.
Thank you, Dr. Weber. The complete report, titled Defining Rural Oregon, an Exploration, is available online at ruralstudies.oregonstate.edu. A shorter version is available at extension.oregonstate.edu. This podcast was produced by the Oregon State University Extension Service. To learn more about our educational programs and materials, visit us on the web at extension.oregonstate.edu.